How many of you are thankful that this week, when you didn't quite measure up, the grace of God covered you? I'm so grateful. I spent last week in Puerto Rico. And by the way, thank you all for the ones that blessed me for my birthday. That was a totally surprise to me, and it was a real blessing. But I spent last week in Puerto Rico dealing with some business. We got my mother's property back, and they hadn't registered it. I just knew I had to go, and I didn't know why. But when I got down there, I found out they hadn't dealt with it properly. So we saved a couple $100,000 property by me going and dealing with that issue. So I thank the Lord that I was there. But I was getting on the plane on Monday, and you know, we're just family here tonight, so I just want to speak from my heart. I was getting on the plane, and I was standing, getting up, ready to board, and I seen this lady standing there, and she had her phone out, and she says, "Hey, do you know this guy?" And I walked over to her phone, and it was BJ's. She had BJ Putnam's music on, and I says, "Yeah, that's my son." And she says, "I didn't know this lady." And I says, "She says, yeah, I know. I go to your church." And I said, "You do what? Well, how come I never met you?" And she says, "I don't know. I've been there 3 years." So anyway, her name's Chloe. She's an awesome lady. She does stuff around here. I didn't even know it. So I'm sorry, people, if I don't know everybody, but I try to know everybody. And that was embarrassing to me in my home country of Puerto Rico that I didn't know this lady that goes to our church here. So anyway, God's good. So that's why I need Jesus. I need him to help my mind, because now that I'm 64, I'm only 6 years behind Dr. McCray. So I tell everybody, in 6 years, I'm going to be 70. So I can't even think of that number. That's just like way old, Dr. McCray. But a couple Sundays ago, I shared in the offering, and numerous of you asked me if I would expound on what I shared on that Sunday. So I was sitting on my patio in Puerto Rico last Sunday. I didn't even go to church last Sunday. I just wanted to sit there and look at the country, and so I did, and I scratched down a few things here, and I decided to be obedient to you that asked me to do this for you. So just sit back, and I'm not going to get real preachy tonight. I'm just going to, my wife told me just, because I get, sometimes when I get to preaching, I get to yelling, and she says, "You know, you don't have to do that. You can just be calm and cool." She's telling me she didn't say that. Well, we duked it out today with the landlords where we're leasing a new condo. And, you know, Carol was there to help us. And my wife says, "You know, she's kind of a little pit bull. You know, she's just telling them, I want this fixed, I want that fixed, and we need that straightened out. They're paying this amount of money. That should be done better than that." So thank you, Pastor Carol, for helping us with that. You guys are just an awesome church, and I'm so grateful for the School of Ministry. I'm so grateful that God sent Pastor Marla to us. I'm so grateful for Pastor Lindsay and everybody that helps us get around the city and the nation. It's just such a blessing to be in a house that believes in touching hurting people. And it's kind of going to go along with what I'm talking about. Those of you that heard me, I'm going to start out in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter, and preface it by, that was a time in Samaria when it cost a mountain of gold for a bite of food. So it was a real tough time in that land at that time. And it says on in the 26th verse, "One day the king of Israel was walking along the city wall. A woman cried out, 'Help, your majesty.' He answered, 'If God won't help you, where on earth can I go for help?' 'To the granary, to the dairy.' The king continued, 'Tell me your story.' She said, 'This woman came to me and said, give up your son that we'll have him for today's supper.'" Can you even imagine that? I mean, that's like brutal. That's like really bad. Tomorrow we'll eat your son. So we cooked my son and ate him. It's just so unreal. It was so amazing to me when I read this. I had never read this in the Bible before, and I'm reading this and I'm saying, these people are barbarians. They're gonna cook their kids for dinner because they're hungry. I mean, I can't even comprehend that, but that's how desperate they were for survival at this time in Samaria. We cooked my son and ate him. The next day I told her, your turn, bring your son so we can have him for supper. But she had hidden her son away. So she's gonna eat her son, but didn't want her son to get, she's gonna hide her son. So that's where we start. Pretty gruesome, huh? But it gets better. King, 2 Kings, the 7th chapter, Elijah said, and before here, the king is going to try to kill Elijah because he's upset with God and he's upset with Elijah. So Elijah says, he's going to come and kill me, lock the door, don't let him in, blah, blah, blah. And anyway, the king comes and says, I'm mad at God. And then Elijah says in 2 Kings, the 7th chapter, listen, God's word, the famine is over. This time tomorrow, food will be plentiful. A handful of meal for a shekel, two handfuls of grain for a shekel. The market of the city gate will be buzzing. The attendant on whom the king leaned for support said to the holy man, you expect us to believe that? Trapdoors opening in the sky and food tumbling out? We'll watch it with your... You'll watch it with your own eyes, Elijah said, but you will not eat as much as a mouthful. Goes on to say that happened that the four lepers were sitting just outside the city gate. They said to one another, what are we doing sitting here at death's door? If we enter the famine-struck city, we'll die. If we stay here, we'll die. So let's take our chances in the camp and throw ourselves on their mercy. If they receive us, we'll live. If they kill us, we'll die. We've got nothing to lose. So after the sun went down, they got up and went to the camp of Armon. When they got to the edge of the camp, surprise, not a man in the camp. The master had made the army of Armon hear the sound of horses and a mighty army on the march. They told one another, the king of Israel hired the kings of the Hivites and the kings of Egypt to attack us. Panicked, they ran for their lives through the darkness, abandoning tents, horses, donkeys, the whole camp just as it was, running for dear life. These four lepers entered the camp and went into a tent. First they ate and drank, then they grabbed gold and silver, clothing, and went off and hid it. They came back and entered the tent and looted it once again, hiding their plunder. That's where I want to start. At this time of famine, but Elijah is saying, hear the word of the Lord, because this time tomorrow everything's going to change. And that's why I was saying, in our lives, even though there's desperate famine and difficulties in our life, it doesn't matter. When the word of the Lord comes that things are going to change, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, it means things are going to change. So the attendant here we see is mocking Elijah's word. He's saying, you know, you think it's just going to fall out of the sky. You know, that's impossible. That's why things in our lives today, it looks like it's impossible. But when a prophetic word of the Lord comes to us and says, things are going to change, we've got to hear the word of the Lord and not criticize it and not judge it and not turn it aside. Because it's what happened with this attendant. By him criticizing the word of the Lord, the prophet said, you're never going to eat of the goodness of this provision of the famine when it's over. You're going to die. So we find at the end of the chapter here that the people trample him underfoot, just like the prophet had said. Because the negative words that people speak against you can really hinder your walk in the Lord. And when God says to you, you can go to the nations and spread the gospel, and somebody else comes to you and says, you're not qualified, that's not going to happen. That's nothing but a lie from the enemy to stop you from what God has already said will happen. Amen? So negative words can discourage people from receiving what God has for them. Not receiving the word of the Lord will rob you of your future. It'll rob you of your inheritance, your provision, and can lead to your death. So be careful what you say. It could cost you your life. And if it's with this man as his unbelief, he lost his life, you'll see in the end of the story. Yes, it sometimes looks impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. So the four lepers, here they are, they're sitting at the gate and they're saying, what do we got to lose? We're going to die if we stay here. But by chance, if we go ahead and enter, possibly the enemy will take us on because of who we are, because we're lepers, we're dysfunctional, we've got all this stuff in our life. Possibly they will make a way for us where there is no way. So because they were in a starving state, they decided to risk it all and go for it. How many of you ever been in a situation in your life where there's no money, there's not enough food, there's not enough this, there's not enough provision, you can't pay your house payment, you can't do this, and you just like, God, where are you? Sometimes in that state, when we have had a word from the Lord, we just need to go risk it all. Sometimes we just need to pick ourselves up by our bootstraps and march on and risk it all. I know there's been many times in Debbie and I's life when God called us to do something, the money wasn't there. And it didn't matter. We some way had it within us. We had a maverick spirit that we were always on an adventure for the next thing. And it didn't matter if we had the money or not. So sometimes with that, we have to pick up and risk it all. God can use anyone at any time, anywhere. Anyone, anytime, anywhere, if you're willing to do it. These lepers were diseased, they were sick, they were dysfunctional, they were outcast of society. In that day, if you were a leper, whenever there were people around, you had to scream, unclean, unclean, I'm unclean, I'm not worthy to be seen with you, don't get near me, I'm unclean. How would you feel in your life if everywhere you went, you had people looking at you as you were unclean, you weren't fit, you were a horrible individual. You had committed a felony, you had committed this, you had committed that, you had committed adultery, you had committed this. There's so many of us in life that have committed so many horrible things that we are so dysfunctional, how do you say that word? Function. I'm getting, let's do an English education class here. You know, we've just got so much junk. So many things of this life that have burdened upon us. But sometimes even with all of that stuff that we deal with and suffer with in our lives, we sometimes just have to pick up, march on with all of that baggage and risk it all and go for God. Because when you go for God, even with all your dysfunction, it's so cool how God just takes care of you. I know there's been times in my life when I haven't always done, I've been serving the Lord now, how long has it been, dear? I'm 64. I gave my heart to the Lord in downtown Phoenix when I was 4. So it's 60 years ago. I actually found the building where I got saved in. My dad was an evangelist, and it's over on 27th Avenue and Grand Avenue. The building still sits there, and it's abandoned, but I got to go take a picture of it. But anyway, 60 years, and in those 60 years, sometimes I am so ashamed of myself that I haven't come further in the Lord, because it seems like sometimes I get way out here, and then all of a sudden the enemy makes you feel like you're just a loser. Have any of you just felt like you're a loser and you've been serving God for a long time? But that's the enemy's job, to make us feel like losers. But in God, nobody's losers, because when he came and he paid the price for all of that junk that we have not yet sometimes overcome, we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Dr. McCrary preached a fantastic message on that a few Sundays ago. But I'm so grateful for the grace of God. In fact, I deal with, just a little heads up, I got to hurry here. I'm not going to get done. I deal with people that say, how can you use this person in church? Didn't you know they've been divorced? Didn't you know they were once in jail? Well, you know, I've not been divorced, but that doesn't make me any better than somebody that has been. That's why it's so awesome with God that he paid the price for all of that stuff. I mean, there's no way I'm ever going to be good enough for him to love me any more than he does right now. Even if I fail or don't fail. I'm not saying we should consciously fail. But the word, that's why the Bible says you have an advocate with the Father when you fail. He knew that we would fail. He knew that it was impossible for us to live this life without ever failing. That's why he died. Otherwise, there would be no need for him to die. We could just all be these perfect little people. Well, we know before that didn't work. That's why he had to die. He had to take that on himself for us. Maybe you've had some tough breaks in your life. I'm not talking just about sickness. I've met a lot of people in this church. You wouldn't believe it. Some people that are awesome, awesome people that are felons. We've got people working in this church that are felons. King David, he was a murderer. He's a man after God's own heart. Who are we to say we can't use people because they've failed and have dysfunction in their life? Because the reality is, we all have dysfunction in our life. Every single person in this room has dysfunction in their life to some degree. Maybe you've lost your dreams. Maybe you feel useless. Maybe you feel poor about yourself and who you are. You look at yourself poorly. That's nothing but a lie of the enemy. It doesn't matter if you have dysfunction. You are loved by God, you are received, and you are accepted. Whatever the dysfunction may be. You get around me long enough and you're going to know I got lots of dysfunctions. My brother, it's kind of funny, my brother here now oversees the facilities here. And people don't know us apart because we talk alike. If they see us at a distance, we sound alike. But I was doing this for a while, amongst other things, because I didn't have anybody to take care of it. And one thing they say about my brother is he's very kind and everybody loves him. And they say that about me, but when I'm backed in a corner in the same situation as he is, I get testy and he doesn't. So that's an area of dysfunction in me that it's not. I mean, I should be able as a man of God to not get puffy with people, right? But I do, because I look at things and I say, that's right and that's not. So fix it. Sometimes in all of our pain, we just have to take a risk like the lepers did. What we got to lose? If you were a leper in their situation, what would you have to lose? There's nothing to lose. You're going to die either way, so why not? I know when Debbie and I have been on the mission field times, I know there's one time I had a 16-year-old punk kid working with the Sandinistas had a machine gun stuck in my belly. And he was like poking me and like trying to get me to react. Well, when there's a one of them sticking in your belly, you kind of refrain from your actions. Fortunately, that hasn't happened for a lot of years. That's about 30 years ago. Sometimes we just got to take a chance. Like the lepers, can it be any worse than it is now? Some of us in our lives, can it be any worse? Can there be any more difficult thing? So I'm here, I'm doing this today, and I'm just miserable. And God says to do this. So why not just pick up and do what he said? You're miserable doing this, so maybe try this. Maybe you won't be miserable. Sometimes we've got to get out of our comfort zone and push forward, always knowing the devil's a liar. The devil has lied to me so many times in my life, and you'd think that I would have a better clue at times to know when he's lying to me. I'm getting better at it, but he is a liar. Remember that no matter what state you're in your life, whatever walk you're in your life, wherever you're at, that God loves you the same today as he did yesterday, when you were a perfect Christian and when you weren't a perfect Christian. He loves you the same. That's why I'm so grateful for this church with Pastor Maiden. And by the way, he's in Las Vegas tonight, him and Pastor Mary, preaching a conference there. So we bless them and know God's doing great things through them. They are the real deal. Dr. McCray's the real deal. It was such a privilege for me to get to know Dr. and Sharon McCray that it's just a blessing. And now with them going and doing things in Puerto Rico that I don't have the time to do, and they're what he has to give to the body is so phenomenal. And that island of Puerto Rico is so dysfunctional in so many ways that him bringing his gifts to that island, I'm so grateful to God, because God put that island in our hearts years ago. In fact, my grandfather was sent there by our government over 70 years ago to establish low-cost housing in Puerto Rico. Then my mother lived there, went to school there, and then years later, blah, blah. And then the history, we've just got a lot of history there. So Puerto Rico feels to me more like where my roots are than even here. But I'm here on assignment for the duration till God says. And like I said before, God's got a funny sense of humor sometimes, how he gets you to stick to your assignments. Now my oldest biological grandson is in the school. He's here now, and he's going to be 20. And then my Miles and Max, you know, they're here, and it's like there's always this tug of war that even if I wanted to bail on the assignment and go back to Puerto Rico and forget this assignment, it would be real tough for me to be disobedient because of that. So God's got a good way of keeping us honed in. So you know, I remember, I just want to do a quick little thing here on when God sent us to Puerto Rico. He sent us to the most difficult area on the island. They told us it was the most difficult, drug-infested, HIV-positive, prostitution, drug addiction on the island, this plaza in Naguabo. And so we weren't so anxious to go to that plaza. But when we went to it, we were there, and God spoke to that. We had a whole team down there at the time, and God spoke to us. That was where we were going to work out of. We ended up over a few months, we ended up having over 300 that regularly met with us constantly, drug addicts, homeless. And so, but the thing that God dealt with me about that through this that they're dying without Jesus. I got Jesus, and people say, well, aren't you afraid you're going to get AIDS or something by working with these people? We'd deal with their sores and all that. And I said, well, if I die, I know where I'm going, but if they die, I don't have the assurance of where they're going, so it's better off that I risk it all for their life to be in Christ. So that's kind of the attitude Debbie and I took in those years. We were willing to risk our safety for their eternal experience in God. So sometimes we can't always have it just comfortable. Sometimes we have to do things that are out of our comfort zone and go for it. Cool thing about it is when God calls you to do it, he gives you the grace no matter what the situation. Now, I know Pastor Lindsay wants to go to Puerto Rico, but you know, I told Debbie, I says, I don't know how that's going to work. She's so afraid of bugs. There is a lot of bugs in Puerto Rico, but I don't know, that's just part of it. We did get to see one of the results, and I've told you these stories before, one of the results we did get to see that had literally changed a lot of people in Puerto Rico. We had one of our drug addicts, his head knocked off and his brains all over the ground, and Debbie felt like he was, the police had come, the ambulance come, the morgue had come, said he was dead in the hall. He had been dead for about 45 minutes. And so she just got the team and said, hey, we just need to ask the police if we can pray for him. So they said, yeah, you can go ahead. It's not going to hurt anything. So we all, Debbie, if you see her, she just, in the name of Jesus. But she was down there just pleading for life for this guy. And life, I speak life into you in Jesus' name. And about 3 minutes later, he just started breathing. And the policeman jumped back and he goes, oh my God. But see, those are the kind of things that happen when you risk it all. When we would have, sometimes we had them, we had gangs, and the police would come to us and say, you cannot meet here tonight. The gangs are going to meet, and this is where they're going to do their head off. And somebody's going to get killed, and usually somebody did get killed. But we all, the team, got together, and we prayed, and we said, should we abandon our post? And all of us all together said, nope, we're going to stay right here, let them come. And so we just began binding the spirit. We seen this group of whatever they were, I forget the name of the gangs, and this group, and we seen them coming. And we were just all praying, and we fed the people, we clothed them, we just kept praying, and we all of a sudden we seen this one gang, then they turned and went that way, and then that one turned and went that way, and before you knew it, they were gone. So I believe when God calls you to place, he'll protect you, he will take care of you, and he'll basically supply every need that you had. That's what in the many years, the 44 years Debbie and I have had together in ministry, I've never, ever seen God fail us. I've never, ever done without a meal. I've never done without provision. And most of the time, the provision's been pretty good. Except I remember one time Debbie waking up in the middle of the night screaming because a possum was on her head. But you know, when you're in God's will, those are just the fun things you get to go through. So. But whoever thought God would use somebody like these lepers? Whoever thought that God would use this felon in the church to set multitudes of people free? Whoever thought that God would use that drug addict to set a group of drug addicts free? Whoever thought that God would use people like that? It's amazing to me that God uses so many dysfunctional people. These lepers here were the outcasts of society, yet God used them to free a nation from famine. God used the dysfunctional people to set this whole thing. You guys got to read this whole, I'm not going to have time tonight to read all this that I wanted to read because I get too caught in all the stuff. But Anyway, it's a read this whole thing when you get home. If God can use them, he can use me. There's not too many in here that are as dysfunctional as a leper. Will you agree? I told you the other day that I knew somebody in the church here that was getting 9 years in prison. That was what the court said that would happen. But when it came down to the time of it, they couldn't find the papers. So what I like about God is he looks at the heart of man. And he looked at the heart of this young man. He may have been guilty, but God had mercy on him. His papers were all washed away, and he got off. I'm not saying everybody should get off of their crimes, but God looks at our hearts. Like David killing and having a murderous spirit and him being a man after God's heart. We don't comprehend the mercy and grace of God in our lives. Every day we need it. I don't care if you've failed yesterday, if you failed today, you pick back up and you keep walking towards your purpose. There's a whole lot of people in here that everybody needs you. The body of Christ needs you. There's nobody in the body of Christ that can do for the body of Christ like you can do. You are uniquely created and designed by God for the purpose that he has on this earth for you. So don't try to pass it off and say, well, Pastor Michael will do it, Pastor Bob will do it, Dr. McCray will do it. This person will do it, that person will do it. No, God needs you to yank yourself up by your bootstraps, even when you don't feel like it, and keep pressing on towards the mark, the prize of the high calling, because you are worth it. God needs you. I used to preach a message years ago on don't bury your treasures or don't die with your treasure. This room here tonight is filled with treasure. I don't know all of you that well, but there's some of you that I know, and I know there is so much treasure that the body of Christ needs. And that's why I'm saying tonight, pick up and keep going, because I don't want the devil to stop what your place is to help another person get to their destiny. And there's some of you that you're the only one that's gonna, God can use to get them to that destiny, because God has molded you for that purpose. So don't bow down on what God's called you to do. That's why we have outreaches here 7 days a week, because we want you to have the opportunity to spread what you have in Jesus to the world. And people will come here and they say, well, there's just nothing for me to do. I don't have any, nobody uses me. Well, the only reason you're not used here is because you choose not to be used. Right. People say, well, I'm disqualified because I did this in my life. Nobody's disqualified. If you've come to Christ and you've given your heart to the Lord, your past is your past. It's gone. It's over. Nobody can disqualify you, but Jesus. And I don't see him disqualify. As long as you got air to breathe, you can work for God. Amen. Now there means you may have certain backgrounds legally that would stop you from working with certain kinds of people because of the law. But in God, unfortunately, some things we do have to obey the law here on that aren't necessarily scriptural, but when you're in a country, you obey the laws of the land. So we do obey the laws of the land. If we have a person that's got a record with molesting children, we don't let them work with our kids. Right. Doesn't mean God, there is another things that they can do in the kingdom. They need to get out there and work with all them other molesters and get them fixed. I mean, I don't know where that came from. But God has a purpose and a plan for everybody. Everybody. Nobody gets left out. But what the lepers did here, we find out that they went back in and they started hoarding all the gold and silver for themselves. Like so many of us at times as Christians do, we want to keep all the blessings to ourselves. We're comfortable because God's done this for us. So we're satisfied in our nice little church, our nice little building, our nice little house, our nice little car, nice little this, nice little everything God's provided for us. But that's where the lepers were also dysfunctional, hoarding it to themselves. When I was reading this, I'm thinking, you know, God's blessed Debbie and I several times with large sums of money. And my flesh, every so often, wants to just keep it. You know, I was a builder in the past. While I pastored churches, I built custom homes, and I love building houses. It's just, it's a rush for me. I love the smell of wood. my wife loves it too. I just love that. But I made lots of money at times when I'd sell a house and blah, blah, blah. And I'd think, well, you know, I'm gonna just put that away for a rainy day. And every time the Lord would come in with a new assignment, and he'd say, I want you to do this. Well, every time it would wipe it all out. And, you know, people today, they think that's kind of silly. They think you should save all this for retirement and all this. And, you know, we've never done any retirement stuff. I never figured on ever retiring, because how do you stop doing the will and purpose of God? You just don't. So then it's God's responsibility to take care of me till I die. So, but it's... I don't think it's right for me to hoard the blessings of God to myself when there's a dying world out there. But anyway, that's me. I'm not saying. But anyway, he gives us gifts. God gave me a gift to make money. I don't have it now, but anyway, he gave me the gift to know how to do it. He needs to give me the gift to know how to keep some of it. But, but you know, I want to quickly read this in Acts chapter 4, where I think the church has got to get back to some of this. But I know this society in the world that we live in today is different than then. But the principle is still there, that God wants, he doesn't want one of us to be filthy rich and another one begging for bread. That's not the plan and purpose of God. It says here in Acts 32, I'm not going to read all of it. It says, God gives us power to obtain wealth for the... I'm going to just paraphrase. God gives us power to obtain wealth for the kingdom and not just for ourselves. He wants us to live a blessed life, but not at the expense of the world not knowing about the goodness of Jesus. And in this Acts 4, we find that's where Ananias and Sapphira were in the church. They had made a decision that from time to time, people that had wealth and had properties, they would sell the properties and bring them and land at the apostles' feet. And the apostles would distribute to the believers as there was need. Well, it was so important that this was an agreement that they had made with this group that Ananias and Sapphira said, yeah, we're going to do this. And they sold their properties, but they kept part of it for themselves. When they had told the apostles that it was all going to meet the needs of the people. So we know the story. They were struck dead because of their lying. But The thing is, we've got to look at here, they had the right to keep this property. But we don't have the right when we make a decision and make a declaration that this is God's. We don't have to have the right to take what we've given to God and keep back part of it for ourselves. So God judges when we think that we can, say I win the lottery tomorrow. Which I don't do the lottery. My wife does once in a while. But say I won the lottery, she thinks she's going to win. She says when she wins, she knows she's going to win. She says, when I win, I'm going to pay off the church's mortgage. I'm going to pay off everybody's houses. I'm going to pay off all this. So she already has it in her heart. We've already talked about it. We wouldn't change our way of living at all. We might get us a boat in Puerto Rico so that we could travel a little more around the islands or something. But we wouldn't change our lifestyle that much because we're happy with our lifestyle. We're happy with what God's given us. We don't need any more. So I think that's what we need to come to the point that when we are blessed, let's just use blessings to change the world for Jesus. What the lepers did, though, and what is so cool, what God wants us to do, the lepers had a change of heart. They were heaping it all onto themselves and going to store up all this gold and silver, but they had a change of heart. We find here, let me get back to my scriptures here. I had to print this out because I didn't have my... They had a change of heart here. Where is it at? I didn't bring my Bible. I just brought this stuff I had from Puerto Rico. Finally, they said to one another in verse 9, "We shouldn't be doing this. This is a day of good news, and we're making it a private party. If we wait until morning, we'll get caught and punished. Come on, let's go tell the news to the king." So they went and called out to the city gate, telling what had happened. "We went to the camp of Aaron, and surprised, the place was deserted. Not a soul, not a sound, horses, donkey, blah, 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 blah." So they made a decision that now we're not going to hoard it to ourselves. We're going to spread it around to the body of Christ like we've got to do. When God blesses us, we got to spread the good news around. We got to spread the wealth around and bless the body of Christ so the kingdom of God can be established all over this earth. And it takes money to do that. Dr. McCray knows that well. When we go to Puerto Rico, that they don't give you much money in churches there. Debbie and I, we did our income tax the other day, and I had to fill out what I made in Puerto Rico. It was $200 last year. Well, you know, that's not too good to live on. I think Dr. McCray does better than me on finances because he's got a doctor on his name. Anyway. So we find here that the word of Elijah came to pass. The famine was truly over the next day. And you could buy food for nothing. You could get clothes for nothing. It's really cool when God says something to actually see it come to pass. And that's what's so cool when I watch you guys step out, what God calls you to do, and you come back and give the report, and you're so excited because of what God did where it didn't seem to be there was any way to do it. But when you do what God says to do and you're obedient, there's no greater reward than that in life. I mean, Debbie and I, we're getting old now. We've had the privilege of doing this for so many years and watching God just come through over and over and over again. I was telling the class the other day that, you know, we were remodeling a house once way back 25 years ago or something, and I asked my wife to go in and pull up some of the carpet in one of the bedrooms. She said, "I don't want to pull up the carpet in the bedroom. Why don't you do it?" So anyway, I was out and all of a sudden I heard her hollering, "Bob, get in here, get in here, get in here." We were getting ready to go somewhere on a mission trip or somewhere. And she had the corner of the carpet pulled up and she just started pulling out $20 bills, just tons of them. And she was just like jumping up and down, so excited because we realized, hey, money just really came out of nowhere to provide for us. And that's happened a lot of times in our life. And so she was kind of thanking me for letting her pull up the carpets. But anyways, what I'm here to tell you tonight, that when God speaks a word that the famine is over, it's over. I know when I spoke that Sunday, that I really felt like saying that this time tomorrow, some things are going to change. I had several people come to me and said, it truly did change for me the next day. Because I myself was needing some changes because I was concerned about the stuff in Puerto Rico. Got there and God just took care of it all for me. It was kind of done by surprise, but he took care of it for me. He led me on what I needed to do. So God will do the same for you. When God speaks to you and says this is going to happen and that's going to happen, don't be negative about it. Just go for it. When you get a prophetic word of the Lord, even if you don't understand it, receive it and move forward with it, because God is not a liar. He gives the truth. When he says it, know it will happen, come to pass. Just believe it in your heart and go for it. So, go for it. And I only got about halfway through, but you guys are awesome, and thank you for putting up with me tonight. Altar team, come. My wife's going to close out. God bless you.
Let's all stand to our feet. I believe that you're in this house because God's given you permission. He's permissioned you to be a risk taker. He's permissioned you to step forward and move into beyond where you are today, beyond your comfort zone. You know, Pastor calls us all a bunch of mountain movers and world shakers. And if you believe that about yourself, but I believe there are some of you here tonight that God has really put specific things on your heart, and you just kind of just back down in fear because you're just... You feel like you're disqualified, like Bob spoke tonight, and you feel like you're not good enough, or there's too much history in your past. And I feel like that the Lord tonight wants you to come up in the prayer of agreement and get one of these great, wonderful, mighty prayer warriors to agree with you that you're going to move forward. Leslie, you're one of them. Where are you at? Yeah, wake up. You and your husband, I want you guys to come up here tonight. I want Pastor Marla to agree with you. Because you guys, the reason the attack is so horrifically horrendous against you is because the call and the grace of God is on you for a tremendous assignment. And so tonight, we're just going to agree as a body of Christ. I wonder if you guys could just stretch your hands right now. Pastor Marla's going to agree. And we're just going to agree that this assignment is broken off of them, that there's no leprosy, and that they're going to step into the enemy's camp and just demolish it for the kingdom in the name of Jesus. Everybody just stretch your hands and just pray in tongues right now. Let me hear you pray as a body. That's it. Great faith, great strength in the name of Jesus. The enemy is a liar. No weapon formed against him is going to prosper. I thank you, Father God, that they're going to step into the assignment that you called them to step into. Huh? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. As we continue to pray for this couple right here, if you're one of those tonight that you know that God has just assigned you to step into something that you're afraid of, I want you just to come up and move into this thing and get agreement. I could call you out of this room tonight. I could just see it just kind of setting all over your heads. Elaine, you better get up here right now, girl. That's it. Come on. Come on. Yes, come on up. We're just going to move out prophetically here tonight and just call those things that are not as though they are. We're going to believe tonight in Jesus' name that you're going to step into your destiny, that God is going to be your strength. Yes, yes, yes. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Just keep praying. Just keep praying.
You make me brave. You call me out beyond.